welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. It's May 12th, 2022. I'm Luke Haverly. My co-host, Elizabeth Coppard Cavalli, and I are bringing you the second installment of May Day, ushering in Maoist-style tyrants and terrorists. To hear part one, May 5th, with its crucial warnings of possible sabotage to the world's food storage and production facilities, go to the listening archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that program was for May 5th.
We're glad to be coming to you on the following listening venues: WWCR, Liberty Works Radio Network, Global Star, and KSTARTalkRadio.com. And we again thank a few very faithful listeners for letters that inspire us and contributions. Listeners, we need much more help, and we believe this will be for 1 or 2 months yet, possibly, that it will be this tight, but we really do need your help to stay on WWCR. We're in a financially stressed time, and please help us as the Lord leads you. Checks can be written out directly to WWCR, and we're going to need $500 before the end of this month for the five Thursdays coming up in June. So it's very important, and we will be able to pay Global Star Communications $200 by May 16th. So our greatest worry there is WWCR. So if you can help us, cash is very helpful, too. Lou has just had to pay $70 to renew the little smartphone, which we have to use to get our articles. And our P.O. Box rent is due. It's about $84 for the year. So everything is hitting us at once. So, you know, if five of you send $20, that's a big help. If 10 of you send $10, that's a help, too. And we do hope that some of you can help us to a larger degree with this deadline. So you can write a check again to WWCR for any amount, or you can send cash, or you can send money orders. A money order can be made out to WWCR if you like your privacy more, and mail it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland. And the zip is 21609. Again, that is to Luke Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we must say again that we are getting encouragements from the Lord that He wants this program to be on. We keep hearing our theme song, and that's Beethoven's Third Symphony, the Eroica. And we have heard this before when we did work that was of vital warning importance to all of you. And certainly this latest warning message about the food storage supplies and possible sabotage, engineered takedowns, it's so important that you have a news source that you can trust, because we are backed by God alone. And we trust in Jesus Christ's guidance, and we pray for it. You have no commercials, and you don't have a kind of a vested backing that many of the Patriot networks have. Don't kid yourself. These big, big Patriot stars who maybe have millions of dollars coming in a year, they're not just relying on little contributions from listeners. No, no way. We know that. There is a lot of controlled opposition, and we're not it. So now we move on. Listener Ramon asks whether we have a newsletter and or books to send out. No, Ramon, we have to tell you we're sorry. We no longer have either in print. So we urge listeners to go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. There, under Breaking News, you can see all of our current important essays, and even some of the older ones that were very important about COVID-19 clot shots starting in November. There, under Breaking News, you can download some of this. And thanks again, Ramon, for your kind words of encouragement. Listener Art drew our attention this week by talking about the focus of your prep food being cleverly hidden. Now, here are just a couple ideas that he shared: false walls under stairways, and drop ceilings that can be useful. And he also says it's important to get outside and learn to forage for natural foods. That's essential. And he cautions you not to store food in the attic because of extreme temperature changes. And be sure to rotate your food, getting the oldest food first. Lou and I have started doing that, even with things from the grocery store. Remember, Lou, we had a certain kind of cranberry sauce that we liked, and so we are now using up things that ran out in 2021. And
yes.
So now back to you, Lou.
And now we have first some vital headline article excerpts.
Yes, we do. And first, we have WorldNet Daily. Jack Davis, it originally appeared in the Western Journal, published May 7th, 2022. Dr. Oz gets mostly hostile reception from Trump supporters at Muddy, Pennsylvania rally. A Trump rally that took place in a downpour that gave way to a quagmire showed that former President Donald Trump has strong support in the state. But there's perhaps not so much for Dr. Mehmet Oz, Trump's pick in a May 17th Republican primary for the U.S. Senate. In the run-up to Trump's appearance, boos greeted a pre-recorded message from Oz, according to Business Insider. The boo birds returned again when speakers mentioned the television personality who jumped into the race for the Senate in November and was endorsed by Trump in April. This is Elizabeth here speaking. Mud and quagmire, you know, those are pretty good descriptions, especially the mud of Oz, the mud of disrepute with his promotion in close ties with children gender-changing surgeon Dr. Garofalo. The quagmire, I think, we were talking there, there's the mud and the quagmire. The quagmire, I think, fits Trump. Oh, Donald, we never knew you. The vaccines are coming. The vaccines are coming. Your words, your strange sellout of the humanity you profess to love, letting the COVID gene shots come on. And we've heard, I think, Lou, that maybe 5 billion now have been injected. Isn't that right?
I think it's something like that.
Yes. And so now, Trump, you tell us about Oz, quote, he is a great gentleman. I think he is going to win. And then, sad to say, I am a native of Western Pennsylvania, and I just feel so sad to see how duped so many Pennsylvanians still are, seeing Trump as their champion on a white horse. I recall that in his goodbye speech there as he was leaving, there wasn't one word about the stolen election. With all those CIA Dominion machines working and all of those extra suitcases pulled out there, I think, was that Georgia, Lou?
Yes.
I think.
Some of that was, yeah.
Some of it was. With all that going on, there wasn't a word. And now lately we hear that Trump has been recommending Mike Pence's brother for a political office. Why, isn't that nice? Pence, the traitor, the one who shoved the what looked to be a Masonic coin into his pocket. But, you know, you regular listeners are not going to be duped the way this woman was. At least we consider that she was duped. And this is, again, from the Western Journal article, a quote, I think he's so energizing, Lynetta Villano of Luzerne County said. I think he gets people to come out and vote. He reminds us of how well our country was doing when he was in office. I think we're just at a point where we're really longing for that, especially with the economics. I think that's the hardest thing that people are dealing with. And I think that you regular listeners to the Divided Kingdom, and remember, we do need your help. You can't just count on us being there without all of you digging in and helping us. You listeners have more shrewdness about the situation than this woman. And Lou, before we get back to you for the second important article, you and I have been listening yesterday to the Stu Peters program. And we heard a very eloquent young man who happened to be a Roman Catholic discussing the Roe versus Wade situation and how the demonic protesters were coming in front of one of the cathedrals. Remember, there was a young African-American woman there who, I guess, had in effigy her aborted fetus, and she was, what, stomping on it and saying she was killing it?
Yes, yes, exactly.
And so we have this terrible, terrible demonic thing loose, and all of this outrage from these people murdering the babies, it's coming against the church. And now you and I have said Revelation talks about the horror church beginning, and it seems to incriminate eventually the Roman Catholic system. But, you know, at this time, right here, we have no idea whether we're nearing the Great Tribulation or Revelation, anything like that. But we can see that at this time, the Protestants, and Lou and I are Protestant, we can't go to a Protestant church. We pleaded with three or four local pastors before the pandemic to go to Planned Parenthood and stand there. We got no response. And we heard from Abby Johnson, who once helped do abortions. She also was a guest with Stu Peters, and she said that these Protestant ministers are very apathetic, and they won't take any stand because 50% of the women getting abortions are sitting right in the rows of their churches. Now, at this time, I would have to say as a Protestant that there is more, what can I say, lying down, dumb like dogs, pastors in the Protestant church than the priests in the Roman Catholic church. No, Lou and I don't agree with all of the theology. We don't worship Mary. We aren't going to have the Eucharist. There are other things. But at the same time, this young man who was there, he told about he prayed the rosary, okay? Maybe he's misled on that, because the Bible says that only Jesus is our Savior, and that, you know, there's no mention of Mary as a co-redemptrix. But this is also what the young man said later in the program. He said, Jesus is our victory over all this demonic revolting of these people. And Lou read on air that sickening, horrible thing about the woman having a birthday party and a birthday cake, and it had crossed out the word son, I think, and it had her aborted fetus, and they were all celebrating. Recall, Lou?
Truly, I recall that, and it was demonic. That's the only word you can give to this, to these creatures. And I'll say one more thing. I went to a Baptist church as a young man for several years, and the pastor at that church would not have been a coward the way too many of these pastors are today. He would have told it straight. And if he felt that anything was a sin, he didn't care what the congregation said. And I'll tell you something else. The congregation was larger unto him than any time after that, as far as I know.
God was blessing the courage and the integrity of those old-time pastors. So, you see, we're now asking all of you. Now, some of you may be Roman Catholic. Some of you may be Protestants. A lot of you are not going to church in either place because God has called you to come out of Babylon. He has called you. And so we were really realizing something. We heard some things that we certainly didn't like from a Protestant minister about a week ago, and it was basically, let everything go. Don't try to bring out any of these theories and information about COVID shots, because we're all going to die anyway, and God has the keys to that. It was like piety. It was like you just stay in the church and do nothing, and you just keep singing the worship songs. We were so upset because we used to order very hard-hitting DVDs from this pastor, and no more. We will not do it. And we're not going to give active support to ministries that promote the pre-tribulation rapture either, which I think he's connected with. But we were very, very upset about this. And then I said, look, there's a picture of his church. This is out in Missouri. And I said, I wonder if it holds a couple thousand. Lou laughed. He said, oh, it would only hold, what, you thought, maybe 200?
Yeah, something like that, yes.
Now, we realize something. We have thousands of people making unique visits now to DividedKingdomRadio.com, over 2,000. And I said, you know, we may have over 2,000 listeners, maybe more than that. We know that the late Dr. Stan Monteith said he thought he had 10,000 listeners. Now, we're responsible now for, I guess it's like a church. I guess it's like the remnant. Now, if all of you out there pray, things can happen. Because we liked something that was said by this young man to Stu Peters. I believe that he was the one who said it, that God may be showing his power to overturn Roe versus Wade, something that was an impossibility by man's terms. We may be going to go through a lot of trouble, but if this is God's will, it will happen. If God hears the prayers of the righteous men and women who are part of the remnant, and that is you wonderful listeners. So we're just asking you to pray hard for this and to pray for God's remnant church, no matter what denomination you've come out of. If you believe Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and you turn your life over to Him, asking Him to forgive your sins and to guide you, He will do it. Sadly, I think that the President Trump I remembered standing there below the portraits of the presidents, Mount Rushmore, isn't that right?
Yes.
That was such a wonderful moment in my life, and such disillusionment came later. Because you can't be a double-minded man and be blessed by God. You couldn't be bringing in those vaccine clot shots and making money for the big corporations out of killing people, out of population control. God won't keep you in office if that's a part of your makeup. If you were truly dedicated to Jesus, we might have had a different outcome. The Dominion machines might have been defeated. So we now do not look for hope in politics. We are not looking there except perhaps at the state level and the local level. Now, the other concern, the bombshell article that Lou has, it's so important. And you know what? We're still doing tyrants and terrorists. And there'll probably be another one next week because May really did usher in all of this. So many important things we have to tell you. Let's find out something. An unlikely person who wants peace in Ukraine.
That's right. The other big news is this unusual spokesperson for peace in the Ukraine-Russia war. This is an excerpt from Zero Hedge. The title? China's Xi, or Z, urges Europe to promote Russia-Ukraine peace talks, resisting U.S. pressure. This was by Tyler Durden, May 9, 2022. During a Monday virtual meeting between Chinese President Xi Jinping and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, Xi stressed that Europe must play an active role in promoting peace talks and in, quote, building a balanced, effective, and sustainable European security framework, unquote. According to China's state media, Xi said, quote, all efforts must be made to avoid the intensification and expansion of the Ukraine conflict, and China welcomes all efforts that are conducive to promoting peace talks. And in the translation, it says, China welcomes all efforts of the international community that facilitate the ceasefire and negotiations. The relevant parties should support Russia and Ukraine and reaching peace through negotiations, unquote. Since nearly the start of the conflict, Washington has charged that Beijing is providing behind-the-scenes support for Russia's invasion of Ukraine, something which Chinese officials have consistently denied. China has also come under fire for appearing to provide political cover in its criticisms of NATO, which echo the Russian position. Kui Hang, an assistant research fellow from the Center for Russian Studies of East China Normal University, was featured in China's state-run English daily, Global Times, as describing Beijing's perspective that time is running out on Washington's muscular efforts of arming and propping up Ukrainian forces amid the Russian onslaught. This is why new pressure has been put on America's European allies to step up and do more, even as China argues they must get serious about negotiations and compromise. As for the prospect of a Russia-Ukraine ceasefire, by all appearances, Washington doesn't seem interested in pushing for robust talks or diplomatic engagement with Moscow. Instead, it is openly on record as saying it wants to see a quote-unquote weakened Russia, according to the recent words of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Official communications are even to the point of Russia's ambassador to D.C., Anatoly Antonov, saying he's had zero contact with Biden administration officials, describing it as a situation of being, quote-unquote, blockaded. Antonov said late last month, frankly, we are in a blockade. When I came to Washington, my idea was to use the word improvement to describe my goals for the relationship. Now I prefer to use the word stabilization. And now we move right on to WorldNet Daily's article called Bird Flu Explodes in the U.S.
And Lou, we have to interject
yes.
that we have been bringing these hard-hitting reports about the food storage facilities and food production facilities worldwide, the fires, all of the things that look like sabotage, and now the bird flu.
That's right. The bird flu explodes in the U.S. Millions of chickens dead. At the same time, bizarre disasters hit food plants. This is by Mike Landry and originally from the Western Journal and published May 4th. One can almost understand how Pharaoh might have felt as God sent plagues of locusts, frogs, darkness, and more upon Egypt. Of course, things are not that bad, but seemingly daily news items of fertilizer shortages, transportation and fuel issues, food processing plant fires, continued concern about COVID, and talk of the unmentionable nuclear war make one say, what is going on? Now you can add one more plague to the list, bird flu. It's killing millions of chickens, turkeys, and ducks, and it's raising food prices, according to CNBC. Over the weekend, Oklahoma became the 31st state to confirm avian flu in chickens. State Impact, the Oklahoma Consortium of Public Radio Stations, reported. All over the weekend, 19,000 ducks on 7 farms in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, had to be killed in hopes of containing the disease, WGAL said. As of Monday, 35 million birds in the U.S. were reported to have died or been killed due to the flu, the second worst spread of the disease in history, Reuters reported. France has culled 16 million birds, and the disease has also occurred in Britain, Italy, and Spain. Affected birds were in both commercial flocks and non-commercial backyard flocks. Big commercial chicken farmers may have had an advantage since they have in place biosecurity measures, according to Dr. Alicia Garzica Sutherland, Assistant Oklahoma State Veterinarian, State Impact said.
And, Lou, I have to interject here. Was this thing seeded? I mean, it's interesting that it's on both continents, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Certainly
yes.
Suspicious. And this Oklahoma State veterinarian said she recommended keeping poultry indoors or in coops and keeping them away from waterways to avoid transmission from ducks. U.S. and European commercial growers of organic and free-range chickens have been keeping their birds indoors. That's caused problems for consumers paying extra for designations of birds being free-range, according to Reuters. Since November, France has required farmers to keep chickens indoors. The U.S. Department of Agriculture recommends the practice but does not require it. A major U.S. producer of free-range chickens and eggs, Pet & Jerry's, is keeping its birds indoors. Quote, we will be constantly evaluating the exposure risk and will have them back outside in the sunshine as soon as possible, the company said. Avian flu can spread to humans, but that risk is low, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. As of last week, the CDC confirmed only one person has tested positive for it. That individual, who had direct exposure to poultry, has since recovered. To avoid bird-to-human avian flu transmission, the CDC encourages avoiding direct contact with wild birds and with domestic birds that look sick and with the bodies of dead birds and surfaces contaminated with bodily fluids and feces of birds.
The bird flu joins the growing list of threats in daily life, many of them being contributors to inflation. Reduced poultry flocks lead to higher prices for chicken and eggs, prices already boosted by increasing transportation costs. Fertilizer stocks are threatened, which can lead to food shortages and higher fuel costs. They can raise the price of almost everything. And who knows what's behind the bizarre fires and shutdowns at 24 food processing plants, including two planes crashing into a couple of plants in 1 week. Meanwhile, it's good to read about increasing numbers of people posting on social media about how they are returning to the venerable practice of growing and preserving their own food. That's commendable. And with the way things are going, probably necessary. Because if the government tries to solve the problem by once again mailing everybody checks, they will be worthless if there's no food to buy. That's something to keep in mind, along with remembering that for now, at least, you need to keep your chickens inside the coop.
Now, the next big alert, WorldNet Daily, May 6, 2022. Supply chain disaster. Baby formula vanishes from store shelves. America's supply chain for various products has taken multiple blows from COVID circumstances since the pandemic surged. Sometimes products simply aren't to be had. That's when a specific market stream is further complicated by a recall. It gets worse. And for parents who are feeding their newborns formula, sometimes a specific formula, when the store shelves are empty, they have few options. That's the situation facing parents in America today, according to a Daily Mail report, which quoted the mother of a five-month-old saying, "An entire month, there was nothing, nothing online, nothing in stores nearby. I can get Amazon delivered to my door, pardon me, but I can't feed my son. It's absolutely heartbreaking," Nicole Brown told News 5 Jacksonville, according to the report. Some watchers were observing prices explode. A recent survey found 40 to 50% of the top-selling baby formula products were out of stock across the country. And Jill Bradford, a Virginia mother of a five-month-old girl with medical needs, said the specific products she needs are gone. "We've called the WIC office," Bradford told WTVR, according to the report. "We've called Thrive, which is a supply company. We've called every hospital system in the state. I've contacted personally every Kroger, Walgreens, Walmart, and CVS within the Tri-Cities area." She said she was able to find 8 cans, which normally sell for about $43 a piece, online for $100 each. The problem first surfaced, apparently, over supply chain issues, but then turned worse just weeks ago when Abbott Labs recalled certain products under the Alimentum, Similac, and Elicare brand names. That was because several infants contracted an infection that can cause meningitis, including one who died. Now, this is Elizabeth interrupting this WorldNet Daily article to add this additional information from the Daily Mail. The shortage began during the COVID-19 pandemic, experts say, when companies started to face supply chain issues, including procuring the necessary ingredients, packaging hang-ups, and labor shortages. It only got worse in February when Abbott Labs first announced a recall of certain Alimentum, Similac, and Elicare formulas after 5 infants who used the formula contracted a Cronobacter sacizaceal infection, which can cause severe blood infections and meningitis. One of the infants died as a result. Among the hardest hit areas, according to DataAssembly, were Iowa, Missouri, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Texas, where the out-of-stock rate in the capital of San Antonio was 56%. And we have a little bit more here. Mother of 5, Shannon Bird, and now we're back to the Western Journal, the rather WorldNet Daily article. Mother of 5, Shannon Bird, said, "We moved to Kentucky to raise a family. Never did I think I would have a problem finding food for my baby in America. And this is, again, Elizabeth Cuppett-Caverly. If anyone thinks that this isn't part of engineered terrorism and takedown, let us remember the long legacy of population control devices and machinations. In the 1970s, I recall that Nestle came under great scrutiny and condemnation for widely encouraging third world mothers to give up breastfeeding because formula was superior for babies. Then, a little time went by when these third world mothers were giving up the breastfeeding and their milk had dried up. Suddenly, formula was not to be found. It was scarce. Babies in the third world starved. People died. Why don't human beings have a longer memory of dangers past so as to be forewarned?
It's not just babies in danger. From the Western Journal, babies and adults literally in danger of dying as empty shelves of specialty formulas plague the U.S. This was by Grant Atkinson, May 9th. In April, the data collection from DataAssembly found the out-of-stock rate for baby formula in the United States had surged to 31%. For comparison, the rate stood between 2 and 8% during the first half of 2021. Things have gotten worse since that report, and the out-of-stock rate now stands at 40%, CNN reported. Many of the baby formula supply problems stem from an Abbott nutrition plant in Sturgis, Michigan. In February, the company announced major recalls of its products following complaints that four infants contracted a bacterial infection from baby formula made at the facility. Now, the other article said one baby died. This one says two of the babies died from the infection. And the subsequent FDA investigation, quote, found serious food safety violations at the plant, unquote, Politico reported. It has been shut down since that point. The FDA conducted a routine inspection of the plant a few months prior to the four infections, but it did not find any major violations. In addition, a whistleblower warned the FDA in October of potential food safety concerns, Politico reported. Instead of taking action at that point, the FDA waited until two infants had died to conduct an investigation. Parents told Politico that hesitancy and the abrupt shutdown in April could lead to even more deaths. Even adults are at risk. In addition to the normal baby formulas, the plant in Sturgis, quote, was the major supplier of several lesser-known specialty formulas that are a lifeline for thousands of people with rare medical conditions, Politico reported. The conditions include metabolic, allergic, and gastrointestinal disorders that make it impossible for children and some adults to consume regular food. As the shutdown continues, parents and caretakers fear they will soon be unable to get the special formulas. A woman identified as Phoebe Carter told Politico, quote, if this doesn't get fixed soon, I don't know how my son will survive, unquote. Her five-year-old son has a digestive and immune system disease that makes his body reject food antigens. Carter said that, in addition to hesitating on the investigation of the Abbott nutrition plan, the Biden administration has not taken enough action to help the plant reopen. Carter told Politico, quote, if, God forbid, a family member of President Joe Biden or Jeff Bezos or someone influential had one of these diseases, this crisis wouldn't have made it to day two because no one understands the issue and knows it's happening. There's no hope for us. That's how it feels, unquote. Most of these special formulas are amino acid-based, and they are sometimes the sole source of nutrition for both children and adults with specific disorders. Multiple caregivers told Politico that pharmacies and medical supply companies that usually provide these formulas have little to none of them in stock. Meanwhile, major stores are limiting the supply of regular baby formula customers are allowed to buy. CVS and Walgreens both told CNN they are only allowing customers to buy three baby formulas per transaction, while Target is limiting customers to four units in online transactions. While some Americans struggle to afford gas and groceries, Others fear they cannot even obtain their only source of nutrition, or nutrition for their infants.
Yes, Lou, it's bad enough with the gas. A young man who does some yard work for us told you that it cost him $138 to put gas into his truck and just get two little gas cans.
Yes, and I heard on the radio earlier today that, I don't know where this was, but somewhere in the USA, someone with an ordinary automobile, not an SUV, not a truck, spent over $100 to fill up the tank.
Wow. You know, there we are. Well, pick up that article. It's so important that we be able to be aware of what's coming against us, our food.
Well, the author of the article concludes with this statement. This is the state of Biden's America.
That's for sure. And now we have some other very important news about the harm of these COVID so-called vaccines. And again, you see tonight we're talking about terrorism, those abortion fanatics who are in front of the churches, the cathedrals, was yelling about killing their children, being so happy they've done it. These are terrorists. And now the people who have brought to you and all of us these terrible COVID vaccines, these are terrorists too, these population reduction proponents. So here is the article, Natural News, April 29th, Ethan Huff. COVID vaccines are causing severe autoimmune hepatitis in children. The Journal of Hepatology has published a new study confirming that Wuhan coronavirus, quote, vaccines, are in fact triggering severe autoimmune hepatitis in children. Fauci flu shots elicit a distinct T-cell dominant immune-mediated hepatitis, also known as liver inflammation, through a unique pathomechanism associated with jab-induced antigen-specific tissue-resident immunity, requiring systemic immunosuppression. And what we find out here, on May the 2nd, Dr. Jane Ruby came on the Stu Peters program. You can find Stu Peters program where, Lou? At Brighteon.com?
Yes, just go to Brighteon.com and you can search for Stu Peters. Then it gives you a choice. You can get what has been uploaded just today, or you can get for the past week or longer periods of time. Just go to Brighteon.com and search for Stu Peters.
And that's spelled capital S-T-E-W.
Yes.
All right. So Dr. Jane Ruby pointed out that these cases of the autoimmune hepatitis occurred among ages 5 to 10 years old. Now, we assume that some of them may have been even in the studies that they were doing, you know, before things were put in the emergency authorization and the kids could then go to these big clinics. We're not sure where they all came from, because she does mention later, I think, that there was a 2-year-old maybe who died. So it wasn't just the ones in the 5 to 11 range. But 100% of these children had been vaccinated, Ruby said. And this extreme liver inflammation, she explained, is an example of the ADEs. And listeners, you may recall that was the antibody-dependent enhancement. And we go back and review that a little bit. The mRNA operating systems set up things when the they move into the changing the DNA, the cells and everything, so that when a future kind of, let's say, coronavirus, if there even was such a thing, it was part of some kind of virus, we know, that was added to with leukemia viruses from mice and all kinds of other sequences. But at any rate, whenever the body would see another one, it will overreact. That's what's built in, sort of an overreactivity, these ADEs, the antibody-dependent enhancement. So this causes this extreme inflammation, this inflammatory response, usually in the lungs, the cytokine storms. So she pointed that out, that this is because of that, from the vaccines. And she also said that liver biopsies, which these people would have to undergo, are terrible, grueling tests. And think of these small children who have to be undergoing these. And I think, do you have some more on this, Lou?
Yes, I do. Getting back to the article by Ethan Huff from Natural News, We have a quote. At least 169 cases had been reported by this state, and 17 children had required a liver transplant, the expose revealed. Sadly, as of 25th April, one child had unfortunately lost his or her life. Injecting your children for COVID is a form of child abuse. Again, there are many reasons why hepatitis forms, including several viral infections common in children. But all of these other reasons have been ruled out, which only leaves the vaccine, and that word vaccine is in quotes because we know it isn't a vaccine, but the so-called vaccine is the culprit. An earlier study also confirmed that the Pfizer-BioNTech injection is, in fact, causing hepatitis. This further shows that the outbreaks are a product of the shots and not something else. Had these children never gotten injected or boosted, they would not now have hepatitis, in other words. Their poor health outcomes are a direct result of getting jabbed, while their parents were told, which their parents were told, would keep them, quote-unquote, safe against disease. Contrary to what the experts long claimed, the contents of the injections do not remain localized at the injection site. They spread to all parts of the body for at least 48 hours and likely much longer, causing untold damage to systems of the body. The largest concentration of Pfizer's COVID injection was observed in the liver, with 16% of the administered dose remaining there after two complete days. The expose further reveals about Pfizer's mRNA shot, quote, in animals that received the BNT162B2 injection, reversible hepatic effects were observed, including enlarged liver, vacuolation, increased gamma glutamyl transferase levels, and increased levels of aspartate, transaminase. And it has in parentheses AST, and also alkaline phosphatase. According to the researchers, transient hepatic effects induced by LNP delivery systems have been reported previously, unquote. In the new study, a 52-year-old male who was injected with a Pfizer presented bimodal episodes of acute hepatitis, each occurring 2 to 3 weeks after injection. Imaging mass cytometry for special immune profiling was performed on liver biopsy tissue, and flow cytometry was performed to dissect CD8 T-cell phenotypes in order to identify COVID-specific and EBV-specific T-cells longitudinally. In layman's terms, what the scientists discovered is that liver inflammation, hepatitis, that is, can occur in some individuals after vaccination and share some typical features with autoimmune liver disease, the expose explains. This is caused by highly activated T-cells, also called T-lymphocyte, a type of leukocyte, white blood cell, that is an essential part of the immune system, accumulating in the different areas of the liver, unquote. The latest news about COVID injections can be found at vaccines.news. And this is Lou speaking. This is one more comment. Dr. Jane Ruby has one more dark conjecture that the big pharma demons will begin developing vaccines for hepatitis.
Yes, they never stop. Mostly tonight we've talked about the terrorism, and but here comes a terrorist. If there ever was one, the Gateway Pundit. Creepy Bill Gates plans to hire a 3,000-person social media team to push vaccines and suppress any differing information. Jim Hoft, this was at the Gateway Pundit, May 7th. Bill Gates is planning on hiring a 3,000-person social media team to push vaccines and to quash any differing opinions. Gates made the comments at the Wall Street Journal Summit earlier this week. Gates said vaccine misinformation spread like wildfire on the Internet during the COVID pandemic. Maybe it was all of the dead people? And this clown wonders why no one trusts him? He said it's dangerous when people cast out on the key tool that's being used to save people's lives, and he believes those who own social media platforms have a role to play when it comes to ensuring the truth gets shared effectively. Quote, when you don't have the trusted leaders speaking out about vaccines, it's pretty hard for the platform to work against that, he admitted. So I think we have a leadership problem, and we have a platform problem. The way that you make those platforms spread truth and not crazy stuff, there's some real invention required there, Gates said. The fact that information on the efficacy of drugs can move quickly and cheaply should be a blessing to mankind, Gates said, before going on to call the hydroxychloroquine saga, quote, insane. And then there's more medical madness with Bill Gates. He's developing new vaccine that claims to prevent polio caused by polio vaccines. This was Natural News, April 30th, Ethan Huff. And, you know, maybe Dr. Jane Ruby was on to something when she said that the evil medical complex may soon start to devise these vaccines for hepatitis. But now it's polio. And, you know, if we don't get to everything tonight, we plan to tell you the latest from some of these demonic Western leaders like Trudeau, like Macron. There's a lot more that's going on, and there is a lot of, maybe it's softcore, maybe it's transforming into hardcore tyranny. There's a lot of information that we do have for all of you. And again, please help us stay on the air. We really want to be coming to you, and that would mean if you can write a check to WWCR of any amount or a money order to WWCR, and some cash would be very beneficial to help us, and send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that is Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we'll get into this a little bit about Bill Gates. In order to eradicate the scourge of jab-induced polio throughout the Third World, which he largely triggered by mass vaccinating poor people with polio shots for the past 15 years, Gates is funding the creation of another one that will supposedly reverse that damage. Billions of dollars were already spent to eradicate polio in the developing world, and now billions more are being spent to eradicate their side effects, which ironically enough include polio itself. A report from NPR blames the rise of polio on oral vaccines that contain the live virus. In the United States and other Western countries, an inactivated virus is used. The claim is that oral vaccines with the live virus are inexpensive and confer lifelong immunity. And we could go on into this, but the key part is that Bill Gates is there devising something new. And there are currently 25 different countries reporting cases of vaccine-caused polio, and public health officials are refusing to acknowledge the connection to the jabs. Instead, they are pushing more vaccines, though these ones are being tweaked to supposedly make reactivation less likely. I think we're getting near the end of the program, Lou, aren't we?
I believe we have about 10 minutes.
Oh, we have about 10. Oh, that's good. The new vaccine from Gates is already available under emergency use authorization by the World Health Organization. Who trusts it? This is Elizabeth interjecting. It just has not yet received full approval, much like Wuhan coronavirus, quote, vaccines, which means it is still technically in development. Since March of 2021, 265 million doses of it have been administered to children across 14 countries, most of them in Africa. Vaccine-caused polio is rampant throughout Africa because that is where Gates has focused much of his attention over the years. Now, there was a person commenting in this article. It was all a lie propagated by Julian Huxley and UNESCO. And this person added that Julian Huxley, who was a very prime person in UNESCO, had a brother, Aldous Huxley, who wrote about the plan to poison humanity with, quote, medicines. And that was A Brave New World, that book. I wonder where he got the idea from. And then we'll move on a little bit more. Alu?
Yes, we have a little short thing. Actually, this goes with a video, but we'll just give you a couple of comments. The title, They Don't Need Planned Parenthood When They Hit the Jab. This is Friday, May 6th, by the news editors at Natural News. And it was the article was republished from thenewamerican.com and was written by Ben Armstrong. So just to give you a couple of words from it, report after report makes it clear that the vaccine, of course, we're talking about the COVID vaccine, is extremely dangerous for pregnant women. Yet the FDA and CDC don't care 1 ounce, or 8 ounces, for that matter. Watch the video for more. And then we move on to former commercial airline pilot says Squawk 7700 emergency alerts have risen 12,400% in age of COVID vax and 5G rollout.
And where is that from, Lou?
This is from Natural News by J.D. Hayes, April 29th. Something is happening in the skies above the U.S. and countries around the world, according to a former airline pilot who claims that emergency alerts have skyrocketed so much in the past several months that he himself worries about safety. Quote, something huge and really scary is going on with aviation. You can see for yourself. I am a former airline captain. I'm out of the industry, but I still keep tabs of what is going on. I have an app in my phone. It's a free app that you can download yourself. It is called Flight Radar 24. Flight Radar 24, the pilot noted, according to Rumor Mill News, which published his account. He went on to say, one of the really cool features of this app is you can have alerts set up so if an aircraft somewhere in the world declares an emergency in the industry, and he's interjecting, in the industry we call it Squawking 7700, that app will give you the notification, the pilot continued. I've had this app for years, and usually you would see 1 to 4 emergencies pop up every month. That's how it's always been. Aviation is pretty safe. There's not a whole lot of emergencies worldwide on a monthly basis, the pilot continued. However, in recent months, that has changed very significantly, the pilot reports. He says, but over the last couple of months, I have been getting notifications sometimes up to 10 times a day. And again, I'll interject, that's compared with maybe 4 times a month. And the pilot says, I've already had 4 this morning. Something huge and scary is going on out there, and nobody is talking about it. I am seeing so many aircraft declaring emergencies on a daily basis, and I don't know what is going on. You don't have to believe me. You can download the app for yourself and set up the notifications.
A lot of emergencies happening these days. I don't know if I want to fly commercially anymore, the pilot who posted anonymously added. Most recently, airlines canceled flights ahead of a long-expected rollout of new 5G technology by AT&T and Verizon over concerns that the new signals would interfere with the avionics of some airliners, especially the Boeing 777, with one airline executive calling the botched exercise one of the most horrific things he has seen over his decades in the industry. Emirates President Tim Clark said that the Dubai-based carrier was not aware of the issues until the day before the scheduled unveiling of the technology, quote, to the extent that it was going to compromise the safety of operation of our aircraft and just about every other 777 operator to and from the United States and within the United States. We were aware of a 5G issue, okay? We are aware that everybody is trying to get 5G rolled out. After all, it's a super cool future of whatever it may be, communication and information flow. We were not aware that the power of the antennas in the United States have been doubled compared to what's going on elsewhere, he added. We were not aware that the antenna themselves have been put into a vertical position rather than a slight slanting position, which then taken together, compromise not only the radio altimeter systems, but the flight control systems on the fly-by-wire aircraft. So on that basis, we took that decision late last night to suspend all our services until we had clarity, he added. saying that the airline wouldn't take any risks, he said, adding, I need to be as candid as I normally am and say this is one of the most delinquent, utterly irresponsible issue subjects, call it what you like, I've seen in my aviation career, because it involves organs of government, manufacturers, science, etc. There are also rising concerns that negative impacts from COVID-19 vaccines are affecting pilots and air travel. Last month, Natural News reported that pilot deaths have increased by a whopping 1,750% since the vaccines were introduced.
COVID shots were a terrorist in the arms of the more than 300 world-class athletes who dropped dead, usually after shot number two. This COVID scenario in Shanghai is now exhibiting marked tyranny. The tyrants are even trapping people like hapless gophers in their homes. This is from Great Game India, August 30th, 2022. China built cages around homes to prevent Shanghai residents from leaving, even if they don't have COVID. The Chinese government has prevented Shanghai residents from leaving, even if they don't have COVID, by building green cages around their homes. In the world's strictest lockdown, Chinese civilians have been detained in their own homes as authorities build barriers around their homes.
Do you think that's an accident, these cages are green?
No.
I think not.
I think not.
Climate control. Climate change really means control of the people, utter control.
That it does, yes. Going on, Shanghai residents awoke to find green walls constructed overnight by authorities to restrict people's movement as the city suffers its worst coronavirus outbreak since the pandemic began. Those who have walls around their homes enclosing them in a sealed area are unable to leave their homes, whether or not they have the virus. Due to a COVID surge, Shanghai's 25 million residents have been confined for weeks, with 21,000 new cases reported on Sunday, April 24th. That day, the virus killed 39 people in the city. Social media has been flooded with images of officers in white hazmat suits scouring the city and enclosing specific areas with green fencing. Shanghai's people have been already pushed to their limits by the extreme lockdown, as babies and young children have been separated from their parents under existing restrictions.
Is there more to that?
There's much more.
Give one a little bit more.
All right. People are also surprised by the latest move, which involves erecting 2-meter-high green fences surrounding buildings where at least one person has tested positive for COVID to create sealed areas.
That's pretty scary.
Yes.
It's very scary. So we do hope that you will help us stay on the air. Send what you can to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And remember to pray for God's victory with Roe versus Wade overturned. Thank you and good night.